right. Staying on track as followers of Christ is a lot more involved than it seemed when we signed on as believers. Steve is battling all kinds of voices, calling him to do things ethically, voices calling him to do things unethically, and voices telling him to do things who cares-ically. Well, as we study our small package of the Bible tonight, we will see that this truth-eroding pull has been rearing its head for quite some time. So let's head to the book of Jude. You will find that in the very back of your Bible, just before it is the next to last book. And let me give you just a real brief background. This letter was written by Jesus' younger brother. Yeah, Jesus' younger brother, Jude. And he wrote it to be circulated to all believers in all churches. It's a very interesting premise because Jude never wanted to write what he wound up writing. That's right. That's why our message title is The Reluctant Letter. Let's look at this, starting at verse 1. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I am writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. May you receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, and love. Dearly loved friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. Now God gave this unchanging truth once for all to his holy people. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. The fate of such people has been determined long ago, for they have turned against our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Well, gang, verse 3 tells us that Jude had set out to write a letter to followers of Christ about their salvation. He wanted to write to them about the rescue that Jesus Christ had done of us and to talk about the freedom that we have received from God after accepting Jesus as our Savior. Unfortunately, Jude couldn't do that. And that is because there were some urgent matters that needed to be talked about. Now, I connect very powerfully with Jude's problem. Jude wanted to talk to followers about the amazing weight that had been lifted off of their backs. Perhaps he wanted to talk to them about heaven and the rewards that we receive in heaven, or maybe the new life that we live here and the rebirth that has taken place at salvation. Perhaps Jude wanted to talk about the forgiveness and the possibility that is in front of all people following Jesus Christ. Maybe you wanted to talk about charging hills and taking ground for God. Encouraging, exciting, wondrous things that we will see and that we will experience on our new life and full walk with Jesus Christ. But instead, Jude had to talk to them about problem people. Problem people who are compromising God's truth. Problem people who are using God's grace to sin without any remorse. Problem people who are eroding God's standards. Problem people who are replacing Jesus' words and actions with words that they want to hear and actions that they want to commit. Bummer. Who in the world wants to hear about all that, right? I mean, let's just pack up and go to Panera and get some soup. Well, Jude didn't go that route. He had a job to do, and he had a message to deliver. And boy, oh boy, in one chapter, does he ever deliver it. Point one tonight, I'm going to give you a fielder's choice on this because it came to me three different ways. So you can pick whichever one you like the best. Point one is this. Issues must be addressed no matter how unpleasant. Maybe that rings your bell. Maybe this one does if you're a little more on the artsy side. There's a mountain under your carpet. Or maybe this one, more of the dogmatic, write the letter. What we should learn here in Jude's issue of having to do this difficult job, what we should learn and apply to our lives is that we cannot allow things to be swept under the rug because we do not want to deal with it. We are people who hate pain, and we hate struggle, and we hate sadness. Therefore, we do not want to deal with unpleasant situations and difficult circumstances. So what do? Well, a lot of times we sweep it under the rug and hope that it goes away or hope that it changes. Well, that, gang, is not what we are called to do as followers of Christ. Remember the Old Testament story of Jonah? Jonah refused to deliver a condemning message to Nineveh, so he ran away. He just swept that whole thing under the rug and refused to deal with it. Moses said, I can't go to Egypt and set the Israelites free because I can't talk so good. And he swept that whole thing under the rug, or he tried to. Gang, when we look at our hearts and go into the living room of our hearts, we should have carpets that are lying flat because we don't sweep difficult situations and difficult issues under the rug. Instead, we address them. We are called, as Jude was, to write the letter. Write the letter, no matter who it needs to go to or how difficult the words are to write. King David in the Bible, he had a rug mountain in his heart. He swept all the disobedience and wildness of his children under the rug until his son Absalom was ruined beyond repair. Write the letter, David, and get that stuff out from under the rug. I know it's difficult, but you have to deal with unpleasant issues. More recently, here's a recent event, the nation of Greece. They swept their economic problems, which are piling up for years, under the rug instead of dealing with them. And where did it lead? Bankruptcy. Write the letter, Greece, and get that stuff out from under the rug. You see, gang, it's not fun dealing with stuff. I know. Just like it's not fun for Jude to write this letter. But it's essential. It's essential to keep the rug in our heart's living room flat. If you have a friend who's supposed to be following God, and this friend is compromising their integrity, write the letter. Don't sweep it under the rug. If you have a habit in yourself that's displeasing to God, write the letter. Issues must be addressed, no matter how unpleasant. If you have an issue in your life that you're saying, I'll just live with it, and I'll accept God's second best, well, then you're living with an unbiblical practice of compromising. And your carpet mountain's growing. And where will it all lead? Well, we can ask Jonah. Jonah wound up not addressing his issue and wound up in the belly of a fish. David didn't deal with his unpleasantness, and it cost him his son. Now, Jude, on the other hand, he wrote the letter and has helped followers for 2,000 years by writing the letter that he reluctantly had to write. Dearly loved friends, he wrote, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share. But now I find I must write about something else. Westbridge, issues must be addressed, no matter how unpleasant. Enough said. Let's continue as Jude tells us what unpleasantness he has to address. Here's what he writes. I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows you to live immoral lives. Okay, here we go. The unpleasantness is that believers must get their hands dirty. This is what he's saying. We're going to have to get our hands dirty, guys. We're going to have to defend biblical truth. We're going to have to fight to preserve it and not allow it to be abated in any way. No truth eroding. So why must they be so vigilant in defending the truth of God? Well, because people inside believers' circles, he says, he calls them godless, but they were among the believers, he says, these people were saying it's okay to sin. Now, I found this to be the case when I was a new believer in the 1980s. I went to church with people who promoted exactly what the Bible's truth was, but I also had people with me in the church who did not promote what the Bible's truth was. Some lived it and some didn't. For instance, premarital sex. Some said, wait till marriage, as the Bible's truth taught. Others said, try before you buy, eroding God's truth. Then there was the obey your parents crowd versus the don't tell your parents what's going on crowd. I also saw the self-controlled with their language and those that didn't give a rip as to what came out of their mouth. Gang, this eroding of God's truth wasn't really coming at me from the pastors, and it wasn't coming at me from the elders. It was coming at me from my peers, my friends. But it certainly can come from anyone. So what does Jude do? Jude goes on in his letter to describe what these truth eroders look like and what they act like. He's going to give us their traits. Now hold on to your hats, gang, because Jude's small package, this small letter, has a lot of punch. And that is because he gives us about as clear a picture as you are ever going to get of people who will try to pull us away from God's truth and change the way of salvation. It is clear and it is ugly. And we are going to look at all of it. The traits are easy enough to understand as you read them, but they also offer us insight, and they offer us wisdom as well, and we're going to try to flesh that out as we go through this list. Now, if I asked you to give me a list of characteristics, I need you to give me a number of how many characteristics you think you can come up with. How many characteristics of people who compromise God's truth, how long would your list be on a scale? I don't know, one to whatever. What would you give me a number? How many characteristics could you come up with? Four good characteristics. That's good. Four characteristics of a truth eroder. Jenny says she could do that. I can describe about four. Anybody want to go a little bit bigger? 10. Good, good. Guess how many Jude came up with? Let me see here. The way I break this down, I'm pretty close, but not if I'm exact, Jude gives us about 23 traits of people who urge you to compromise God's truth. So we are going to look at 23 sinful traits. How's that for fun? Bring your friends next week. Yeah, 23 of these bad boys we're going to do. A lot of fun. I wanted to stick Mr. Robert with this so bad, but I took it. All right. So you ready? This is the good stuff. Number one trait. Truth eroders did not remain faithful. You'll catch that in the text there as you read that this week. Here, Jude gives us an example by pointing to those Israelites who were rescued from Egypt under Moses, but stopped looking to God. And they instead turned back to idol worship. This is who he references here. He says, they did not remain faithful. This did not remain faithful points to those who began well, but didn't finish well. Like those who started to follow Jesus, but left when it got hard. This is who he's talking about. Did not remain faithful. Those who have a honeymoon period with God, but fade away. They fade away from his principles over time and don't do what God's called them to do. Jude is saying, don't listen to and do not follow these kind of people. John Maxwell has taught a principle for years saying, finish strong. I use that a lot. It's not how you start a race, it's how you finish it. Anyone can start something. It's the ones who continue in it and finish it that have their faithfulness applauded. That's why Jared, the Subway commercial guy? Yeah, Jared, why is he being applauded? Well, that's because my guess is there are 1,000 Tom, Dick, and Harrys who tried to do what Jared did but didn't remain faithful. It's about how you finish. And in God's world, it's all about finishing the race well. Jude says that truth eroders do not stay faithful to God's word and do not stay faithful to God's way. The second trait he gives us is this. They did not stay within the limits of authority that God gave them. This is cool. Here Jude references two angels who fell from heaven. And we see here that God doles out authority in different measures. And we are to act inside the authority he gives to us. Now, truth eroders, according to Jude, they try to elbow their way into authority that they have not been given. In Jude's day, they were contradicting the message being taught by the church leaders. Now, I have to say, the elder team that I work under here at Westbridge, they are good, godly, smart, loving, spirit-guided leaders. Are they perfect? No. But faithfully following God long-term, biblically knowledgeable, wanting the best for their sheep? Absolutely. Now, a problem person that Jude is talking about is someone who would not respect that authority and instead try to put themselves and their leadership above that. Jude is saying, look for that. If you see that trait of not staying within the limits of the authority God gave him, watch out. Third trait. They're filled with sexual immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Mr. Robert, would you like to take over right about now? Just jump right in. Jump right in. Just go off the cuff. Yeah, I know. All right. Here we go. This is good. All the teens here? Good. Okay. Here we go, gang. Any sex outside of marriage, any sex other than that of a husband who is a man and a wife who is a woman, is identified as sin in the Bible. Truth eroders are dying to change that fact. They're dying to change that. And they will stop at nothing to fulfill that wish. Now let me remind you, these people, these truth eroders that Jude is talking about, are people who are saying that these sins are not a problem and that you can do these without regret because God forgives. These are not people who are struggling. These are not people who are trying to overcome their issues. Different issue, right? We talked about that when we had our quadrants up there, different type of ways we address sin. You know, gang, for some, sexual purity is not going to be all that difficult to achieve. To that group, to that small group, I encourage you, write books. I encourage you, speak on the subject. Start blogs. Post helpful web articles and share your insights to the rest of us who are striving for perfection and haven't gotten there yet. If you are struggling for sexual purity, keep fighting. All the way to the grave, if necessary. But don't ever give in to the truth eroder's message that says, don't worry about it. Don't ever go there. For that thinking will sink your spiritual ship very quickly and leave you drowning in a life of struggle and a life of regret. Number four, truth eroders live immoral lives, he says. Immoral is a very broad word. It means not holding to right conduct or a set of truths or standards. Immoral people have been described as unscrupulous, evil, dishonest, corrupt, promiscuous, callous, deceitful, unfeeling, and cruel. Perhaps the best way to look at this is to look at a moral person, a person who does what's right, a person who lives by principles that are above reproach, a person who lives in a manner that is honorable and admirable. Jude is talking about immoral people who erode God's truth, not only in their rhetoric, what they say, but in the very actions of their lives. Now, I know that this series that we're in is called Small Packages, and I know Jude is a one-chapter book, but I think it best to stop here for tonight. You see, Jude is going to continue, and he is going to describe and point out the characteristics of truth eroders, and he will ultimately, just so you know, he will ultimately tell us how we are to treat and how we are to respond to them. And I think you'll be very surprised. But for tonight, I want to stop here and offer you two action steps. Here's where we take the Bible, which is our exegesis, what it says, and we turn it into hermeneutics, which is here's how we act it out in our lives. Here's how we actually live out the Bible, which is what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. Here's the two principles. Guard your input and check your output. First, guard your input. This means to be very careful who you are listening to. And this is what Jude is telling them. Be very careful who you're listening to and what you are allowing as your life guidance and what you are allowing as truth coming to you. Jude is making it clear we should not be courting life instruction from believers who are not faithful in their walk with God. Remember, these were people who were in their church. He says we should not be courting life instruction from those who think they are greater and of higher position than they really are. We should not be courting life instruction from believers who disregard God's standard of sexuality. Oh, they may speak a godly game, but they don't practice it. Don't get your life instruction from them. And we should not be courting life instruction from believers not living uprightly and honorably and admirably. Jude is saying that these people will try to influence us away from God's standard for a full life. So what we need to do is guard the amount of input you subject yourself to with these people. That is guarding your input. Lastly, check your output. Now, it may sound crazy, but we must be careful that we don't start to develop these traits in ourselves. As far as our faithfulness to God goes, ask yourself, are we as faithful as we were when we first came to Jesus? Is my faithfulness the same as it was then? Or has my faithfulness eroded? Do we still value reading our Bibles, praying, serving God? Do we still ask God to show us what to do in any given situation? Are we faithful in obeying God and doing what is best for us, and especially setting that example for others? Westbridge, we will only drift away from God and his faithfulness. The only way to prevent the drift is to proactively swim against the current. It's like trying to walk up an escalator that's going down. If you stop, or if you rest, you go down. But if you keep moving, keep growing, keep learning, keep obeying, you keep moving up. And gang, we all want to be loved. I pray that every person here who wants to find someone to marry gets the desire of their heart. I pray that. But just as much so, I pray that we never compromise our purity. Sexual sin is getting to be a joke in our society, isn't it? They have eroded sexual perversion down to frivolity and inconsequential experimentation. We as the church must hold God's standard high. We are to guard our input and check our output. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We have learned a lot tonight from a very small section of this letter that Jude never wanted to write. Well, as believers, we may never have wanted to hear it. But it's important that we get a chance to look. To look at this letter and say, you know what, are there some things in my life that I've been sweeping under the rug? Are there some issues or some tough situations that I really just don't want to deal with? Well, you can't sweep it under the rug and have a mountain sit in the living room of your heart. And when it comes to truth eroders, there are going to be plenty of people, plenty of options out there pulling us away from God's truth. Not to be loving, not to be kind, not to be gentle, not to be self-controlled, not wanting the best for someone else at your own expense, not repaying evil with good. But if you want life to the full, if you want the life God designed for us, these principles are for all of us. Jesus lived them out, set the example, modeled it for us, and said, now you, do as I have done. Now, Lord, keep us strong as we head into the weekdays. Help us to be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. Help us to love those who do not love you, but also, Lord, help us to protect the truth that you've given us. And the best way to protect it, Lord, is to live it. Let people see that it is still there, it still works, it still has power, it's still how we're designed to be. And I pray that your Spirit would be the power that allows us to do it. Help us to get one step closer to you each day, Lord, and help us to ultimately please you with the way we live our lives, that your kingdom would be advanced and people would look at us and see there's something they have that I need. There's something they have that fulfill a void. And I pray that ultimately they would wrap their arms around you.